And we will start the meeting. Welcome commissioners, staff, and public to this Planning Commission meeting. Oregon Revised Statutes 192.640 and 192.670 allow for public bodies to hold meetings via means of phone or electronic communication. To ensure for public safety but increase participation, Wasco County has elected to hold all public meetings for the near term via video conferencing. This time, can we have the roll call?
Sure. Mike Davis? He said present. He's on mute. Vicki Ashley? Thank you. Russell Hargrave?
Present.
Marcus Swift?
Here.
Kathleen Willis?
Here.
Lynn McIntyre?
Here.
And then for staff, we have Daniel Donnery. Isaac Statz?
Here.
And I am Interim Planning Director Kelly Housley Glover. We're also joined by office staff, Krista Harris and Jen C. Smith.
Thank you. This meeting is being recorded and will be publicly available. All participants must mute themselves unless they are speaking. Lines that provide feedback while not speaking will be muted to ensure that others can hear. Only you can unmute yourself using the mic icon. If you are participating by phone, unmute yourself by dialing *6. Participants behaving inappropriately will be promptly removed from the meeting. The chair will invite participants for public comments at the appropriate time, so please be patient and wait to be called on. Please refrain from using the comment feature unless directed by the chair. It will distract from the intended flow of the hearing procedure. So at this time, we can have public comments for items not listed on the agenda. So if anyone wants to comment on anything not on the agenda, you can unmute your mic and share comments that you have, and your comments will be limited to 3 minutes. So is there anyone wants to say something about anything not on the agenda? Someone has their hand raised.
That's our regional representative from the Department of Land Conservation and Development, Scott Edelman.
Okay. Scott, did you have something to say?
I do. Thank you, Chair McIntyre. I've been looking for an opportunity to speak to this body. It's been quite some time since I last saw you, and I think it was in person when I did, so it tells you how long it's been. I think I've watched some meetings of yours, but not actually participated. And I've been looking forward to a chance to say thank you and congratulations for the outstanding periodic review process that you just finished. You're part of an amazing team that did work that is in some ways unprecedented. We have cities running away from periodic review. This is a county that took it on, embraced it, and did a bang up job with it from staff. Before being a regional representative. And before that, I was on a planning commission. And so I understand the work you do, understand the value of the volunteer time you put in for the community input aspect of these plans. And I want to thank you and show appreciation. Also, I'm sure Kelly and Angie reported back to you, but they presented to my commission, the LCDC. And frankly, on the inside, that was one of the most exciting agenda items I've seen them get about an agenda item since I started. They were anxious to hear from it. They loved it. They talked about it the next meeting afterwards. You guys are just a real light up there, over there, wherever, depending on where you're at, for planning in Oregon, and a real model. And I want to appreciate Kelly and Angie and other staff that worked on this. I just want a chance to say that. So thank you. You guys are doing amazing work in Wasco County.
Well, thank you very much. And kudos to our staff. We have great leadership and from them, and so we appreciate all that they do to help guide us through this process. Okay, anyone else want to provide comment on something not on the agenda? Seeing nothing. So we need to approve the minutes from July 6th, 2021. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the minutes? If not, could I have a motion, please?
I move that the minutes are approved as stated.
Do I hear a second?
Second them.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Minutes approved. Thank you. At this time, we will open the hearing for the purpose of the Planning Commission's consideration of land use application file 921-21-000088, a mandatory update to the National Scenic Area Land Use and Development Ordinance following an update to the National Scenic Area Management Plan. Our procedure will be as follows tonight. The Planning Department staff will present their report. Planning commissioners may have questions for staff. Then we will provide an opportunity for the public to testify. The Planning Commission will then deliberate and make a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners. This hearing is scheduled for 1 hour. We will try to conclude the hearing by 4 o'clock. Testimony will be limited to 3 minutes. Staff will time each comment period and mute when the 3 minutes have expired. The rules of evidence are as follows. A, no person shall present irrelevant, immaterial, or unduly repetitious testimony or evidence. If you have submitted written comments, please do not restate it in oral testimony unless you have further information to add. Evidence received shall be of a quality that reasonable persons rely upon in the conduct of their daily affairs. Testimony and evidence must be directed toward the criteria applicable to the subject hearing. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the commission and parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes the further appeal based on that issue. Disclosure of interest of ex parte contact from ORS 215.422 and 244.135. First, does any commission member wish to disqualify themselves for any personal or financial interest in the matter? Does any commission member wish to report any significant ex parte or pre-hearing contacts? Does any member of the audience wish to challenge the right of any commission member to hear this matter? Is there any member of the audience who wishes to question the jurisdiction of this body to act on behalf of Wasco County in this matter? Okay, at this time, everyone please mute themselves and hold your questions until the end of staff presentation. And so, Kelly, are you up first?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna keep this presentation fairly brief because these are mandatory updates. We made the determination to leave off any optional updates. Kind of what you see is what you get. But I'm happy to answer any questions. So briefly going to go over the reasons for the update and then a summary of the update. The Gorge management GORCH 2020 process happened concurrently with our periodic review, the update to our comprehensive plan. The management plan is basically the comprehensive plan for the National Scenic Area. It's actually written into the National Scenic Act that every 10 years, the Gorge Columbia River Gorge Commission is required to undertake an update to the management plan. And it's also required in the National Scenic Act and also in Oregon Revised Statutes that Wasco County, in order for us to implement the National Scenic Area Program, update our local ordinance consistent with mandatory changes. So that's why Dayton, here's an excerpt actually from the National Scenic Act. It talks about the timeline. So once the Gorge Commission transmits, we have 270 days, which means this is due to the Columbia River Gorge Commission on December 11th. This also just outlines that we need to be consistent with the management plan, and any revisions have to go through an adoption process and then be recognized by the Columbia River Gorge Commission. So as I've mentioned, and as was clear in the notice, we took the opportunity to focus solely on mandatory updates given the truncated schedule of making this update. I call it truncated because the Board of County Commissioners actually wrestled for several months with whether or not we were going to pursue an update to the National Scenic Area Land Use and Development Ordinance. And staff did start to look at the updates. We were engaged in the GORCH 2020 process, so we were pretty clear what the changes were. But you can imagine, even doing just a transcription, the mandatory updates took a considerable amount of staff time. So we really didn't have the opportunity to do a more robust public process that we would like to do with optional updates. The optional updates that we've left on the table for future are short-term rentals is the big one we've heard a lot of public interest in. The Gorge Commission staff is still working through diversity, equity, and inclusion policies and also climate change policies. So we do anticipate potentially there being some work to do on those two issues. And then finally, there are some policies where we have some discretion on how we actually implement. What we've done is adopt the policy as written to give us the flexibility to really work longer term on how we implement, with the intention down the road that we'll actually codify it in the Land Use and Development Ordinance. So I'm going to summarize sort of by chunks what is involved in the management plan update of our Land Use and Development Ordinance update. So probably one of the most significant changes is the removal of several permitted uses. Specifically, it targeted things in the forest zones, but cluster developments have been removed from all zones. The Gorge Commission found that cluster developments were not actively being pursued the last decade, and so opted to remove that. I believe we have one cluster development in Wasco County. Cottage industries was replaced with the term home occupation, which you'll be familiar with from the county ordinance. That basically means a home-based business. Wasco County did express some concerns to the Columbia River Gorge Commission about the elimination of cottage industries, particularly as it impacts small niche home-based businesses, particularly with farming, but they opted to go ahead and eliminate cottage industries. As I mentioned, dwellings have been removed from the F1 zone in the National Scenic Area, and also life estates have been limited in all forest zones. So basically, we're seeing a further limitation of actually being able to develop housing within our forest zones. There were several limits to existing uses in this update. Some things that targeted aggregate pits, so quarries and production of new mineral resources. In Wasco County, that's predominantly aggregate or gravel. Specifically, this was related to key viewing areas. Something that we, again, staff expressed considerable concern over during the GORCH 2020 process was, instead of a no net loss of wetland function, the development now must achieve no loss of wetland acreage or functions. So So that's a pretty significant update. There also are new provisions where existing development is intended to be expanded, that they'll need to go through a compatibility analysis of similar existing buildings where before they were treated as pre-existing non-conforming, or people call it grandfathering. So that variance has been limited or eliminated. Other variances that have been eliminated, setbacks and buffers within the JMA for additions for pre-existing structures. Anything existing prior to 1986. So there used to be a variance for alterations to structures that existed prior to the Scenic Act that has been eliminated. There are some new requirements, new standards for approval of renewable energy systems, particularly targeting home sustainability, so kind of home solar arrays. Primary dwellings that are going to be used to establish a temporary hardship dwelling. So that's when somebody is aged or infirmed and needs to either live next to a relative, or the relative needs to move on property to take care of that person. Now the primary dwelling has to demonstrate that it's been in continuous use. New cultivation, so that's new farming activity within the farm zone, has to demonstrate sufficient water availability. The requirement for the annual income to establish a farm dwelling has been increased pretty significantly. I mentioned the lighting requirement. They've added this concept of intensity to light provisions. We already regulate both in the scenic area and outside the scenic area outdoor lighting. We use what's called a good neighbor policy, and that's that it's, they're shielded, they're hooded, you can't see them. But this is actually also now targeting intensity. There's a new provision to require Wasco County staff to now do look back after 5 years of new applications to ensure that any vegetation or screening trees have actually survived and thrived, and the vegetative screening is satisfactory enough to meet the condition. If it's insufficient, staff will then be required to follow up and require additional vegetative screening. There are some new standards for roads not in conjunction with farm and forest uses and forest practices. A new provision to require Oregon white oak, which is a pretty valuable habitat, not be removed if practical alternatives exist. There are some things related to mass transit facilities. This tends to impact more of our waterfall district, for example, where we have a heavy amount of recreation use and see mass transit facilities available for visitors and other folks. And then the definition of legally established has changed to again include this concept of being in continuous lawful use. So words are really important in planning. We do expect this to have some kind of impact. Cideries have been now allowed, similar to how it went through the Oregon legislature, and we're able to permit them like wineries, same thing in the National Scenic Area. So that's really good news for our cideries in Wasco County. We have several cideries. Some more good news is that allowances for products at farm stands can include up to 25% of incidental to farm products. So that means they could sell other products, not necessarily things grown on the farm. There was some question for several decades about how we go about expanding the urban area, the urban growth boundary, and the Gorge Commission has passed this policy that basically caps us at 20 acres. So those are all the very significant changes that we expect may have the impact of limiting land uses or value to property. There are, in addition, some procedural requirements that we want to make sure citizens are aware of, because there are financial implications or process implications. If a reconnaissance or historic survey is required as part of the review, applicants will now be required to pay for that cost. Cultural surveys are required for uses within a 100-foot high probability area buffer. Site plans are typically, Wasco County has accepted a variety of site plans. There are some much more stringent guidelines related to site plans that we anticipate many citizens will actually need to hire assistance to be able to complete those. There are some changes to map submittal requirements for mineral resources. So again, aggregate mining. New guidance on key viewing areas and visual subordinates. So how we look at how things look in, from key viewing areas, and how we determine whether they are subordinate to the surroundings and basically kind of invisible to the naked eye. And then there is a new requirement that the county staff share FireWise principles with all development applicants. So we already have pretty stringent fire safety standards that are consistent with what we also do in the county. But the Gorge Commission is now also requiring us to give applicants FireWise related materials in conjunction with their application. And that's basically things like understanding how to create and maintain defensible space, water storage, those kinds of things. So that's a summary of all the updates. In a short and sweet manner. The process moving forward is that if the Planning Commission deems acceptable to recommend approval to the Board of County Commissioners, we'll be taking this to the Board of County Commissioners on October 20th and then November 3rd. So any legislative, anything where we're rulemaking has to go before them twice. And then, as I mentioned, the goal is to get this to the Columbia River Gorge Commission by December 11th. I believe they've tentatively scheduled to hear county ordinance updates in December, January, February, but it'll really be dependent on, I think, first come, first serve and what their existing agenda applies. So we're likely to see this adopted early next year. And then generally, the advice that we've been given by the Columbia River Gorge Commission staff is the management plan rules aren't actually in effect until all counties have adopted the plan. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions from the Planning Commission at this point.
Does any planning commissioner have a question?
I have one question, Kelly. On the 20-acre ground growth boundary, is that just the boundary from the scenic area to the county boundary? Or can the county go an additional 20 acres past the scenic area?
No, our boundaries around, so this impacts urban areas, the Dalles and Mosher. It obviously doesn't extend beyond that. But our boundaries are pretty fairly consistent with the Oregon UGB, the Oregon Urban Growth Boundary. And any process to expand would have to go through both processes. So we'd have to go through the Oregon Urban Growth Boundary expansion and also the National Scenic Area. And the National Scenic Area caps us at 20 acres regardless. So 20 acres is kind of what we get.
But 20 acres, isn't it, Kelly? Excuse me. I recognize first. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But the 20 acres that we're talking about is just for the scenic area. So for an example, it doesn't affect Tai Valley, let's say, for an example.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's a totally different animal and a different process.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Thank well, you. And Tai Valley's not incorporated, so it doesn't. Right. It wouldn't apply to Tai Valley anyway. But Maupin, for instance, yes. It wouldn't apply to Maupin.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Anybody else?
It looks like Commissioner Hargrave has a question.
Go ahead, Russ.
Sorry. Thanks, Chair. It would apply to Mosier and the Dalles, for example, though, right, Kelly? Yeah, thanks.
Any planning commissioners have questions?
It looks like Commissioner Willis has raised her hand.
Okay. Hi, yes, thank you, Chair McIntyre. My question is the issues that haven't been addressed so far, are we expecting that will be next year or what are just kind of in the future?
No, so the short-term rental issue, which I know is of most interest to most citizens, we're going to be doing a robust housing conversation in 2023 in conjunction mm-hmm. with our land use and development ordinance update.
Right.
And this, if you'll remember, we talked to citizens about this during periodic review during our comp plan update, and people were really split on this issue. So staff feels it's appropriate to address this as a whole county altogether, that short-term rental issue, and then make those rules consistent if that's what the citizens would like to see. So we definitely are going to tackle short-term rentals in 2023. The climate change and the diversity, equity, and inclusion is really going to depend on when Gorge Commission staff has that ready for us to take a look at.
Great. Thank you.
Other questions the planning commissioners have? Okay. Hearing none. At this time, we have a few people that have registered to comment. Is that correct? Jency?
We do have people that have registered. Unfortunately, with my technical issues, I haven't been able to download it. But okay. I can review it, I believe. Okay, if it's all right, Chair McIntyre, I will read you the list.
Yes, that's fine.
It looks like we have Sheila Dooley.
Okay.
Jared Sawyer. Casey Getz. Kara Flath. Melissa Lee. And Donna Duray. I'm messing up that last name. And then the only other one that we have registered that isn't commissioner staff is Scott Edelman.
Okay. Okay. So we'll work our way through the list, and I want to remind everyone that to please state your name and address for the record. We use this information to contact you about the decision. Okay, so let's start
Chair, sorry. Citizens, when they register for the hearing, actually list their address. So if they're uncomfortable listing that because we're streaming live and also recorded on YouTube, they don't have to reveal their address.
Okay, just state your name, please. All right, first one. I'll read your name. If I mess it up, you can correct me. All right, first one, Sheila Dooley.
Oh, hi, actually, what happened to my video? Actually, I was gonna comment on chapter two, but I did have a question about chapter one. I mean, this National Scenic Area thing. When you were talking about the definition of legally established, you said it meant in continuous use. So does that mean if you're living in a house and you didn't live there continuously, it would no longer be considered legally established? It's just a Okay, thanks.
Kelly, do you want to address that?
If nobody was living it and it was abandoned for a period of time, then yes, it would not qualify any longer as a lawful use.
Okay. Anything else, Sheila?
Oh, no, that was it. I said a comment when we get to chapter two, but yeah. Later. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Jared Sawyer. I don't see Jared here. Okay. Casey Gatz. Please, there you go.
Perfect, thanks. I just want to thank Acting Planning Director Kelly and the Planning Commission for hosting this. My name is Casey Gatz. I serve as the Resources and Planning Staff Officer for the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area Forest Service Unit. And so I just wanted to listen in and see if there was, if I could just kind of listen in. And so I don't have any questions, and thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you. Okay, Kara Flath. Kara, if you could unmute yourself and you can. If you're on your phone, dial *6 to unmute yourself. Okay, Kara, we can come back to you if you're having difficulty. Melissa Lee. If you wish to.
I don't have a comment. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't have a question at this time. I'm listening. I have several properties that are impacted by this.
Okay, thank you. Donna Daray. Who doesn't appear to be here anymore. Okay. Scott, did you have something further on this part of the hearing, or?
I did not. Thank you, Chair McIntyre. Okay. I made my comments. I will be available until 5 if there's anything that comes up. I don't expect there would be, because you've got somebody there in Kelly who knows way more about land use planning than I ever would.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. All right. Did I miss anyone? Come back to Kara if you wish to provide comment, then please do so. Okay, I don't see that anyone else is wanting to give comments, so there's no further testimony and no request that the record remain open. The public hearing will be closed. It is closed. And the Planning Commission will enter into deliberation. So, any planning commissioners have anything further they want to address?
Chair McIntyre, this is Commissioner Willis. No, I do not. This was laid out well, and thank you. No comments.
Okay, thank you, Kate.
This is Commissioner Ashley. Due to the time constraints and that we can't do much with these. These are pretty much mandated. I don't think we have any choice at this point.
Well,
I mean, we can object to them, fine.
Have but, a choice.
But I don't think it's going to go very far.
A big monkey wrench and things, but
yeah.
Well, I excuse me. I was going to comment in response to Vicky's comment.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Vicky, but I'd encourage us not to think about it that way. That's not really our role. We work for the county, and we need to think about it through the lens of the people that we're representing. And if we object, we should discuss and decide if we want to raise those objections. I think the reality that you're referring to is that we are obligated to follow these rules nevertheless. And even if we did not put them into our LUDO, we'd still be obligated to follow them. We are following them today, or if they've been codified, we are. So to that extent, you're right. But I think we need to to stay true to the perspective we represent, make sure we're looking at it critically. So I don't disagree with you. I just wanted to make sure we do not rubber stamp this stuff.
Oh, I totally agree. But I really have a problem with this 20 acre urban growth thing. But Vicky, around the Dalles, especially.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Russ, do you want to go ahead and then this
just
is Commissioner
one more Lewis. Thought on that. Yeah, you're right, Vicky. That is where it comes to roost. I would point out that the Dalles has been struggling with the process to expand or not their urban growth boundary for as long as I can remember. And so I'm not sure this change will have any real impact.
No, the 20 some years that I've been here, they've been trying to do something the whole time.
Yeah, and that was under the old rules. So.
Yep.
This is Commissioner Willis. I do have just two, I'm just wondering about the water requirement, not as to new buyers, but as to people who already current property owners. I'm assuming that applies prospectively and not retroactively. Apologies, but I'd love some clarification on that. And it's understandable, but I'm just thinking if someone, if somebody is owning land right now and they can't comply with that, then I'm wondering about that. And I'm also wondering about the gross annual income going from 40 to 80, and just if we could hear a little bit more about that.
Kelly, can you address those two issues?
Happily, thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. So the rule related to new, basically demonstrating water availability is for new cultivation. So it doesn't have so much to do with ownership as with the use. So you may have owned a property for 100 years, but never grown a particular crop. And if the intent is to grow a particular crop, you would have to demonstrate water availability. I haven't detailed in this draft how we plan to implement that, but I did have some pretty significant conversations with the planner at the Oregon Department of Agriculture, who also spent some time in Wasco County and also at the Gorge Commission in his career. So is a really wonderful resource, Jim Johnson. And his recommendation would be that we evaluate water rights as the first step to understanding water availability, because again, planners are not water experts. We really rely on our partners at the Oregon Water Resources Department So just again, to be clear, it follows use or a new crop cultivation rather than ownership. So the second question, Commissioner Willis, was related to the increase in from 40 to 80. I believe that number has I believe the thought behind it was to increase with inflation, that the number hadn't been changed in at least a decade. And so it was to recognize inflationary increases. However, that doesn't mean that there isn't some concern of the potential limitations, particularly for farmers entering the field of farming, or young farmers who are just starting out, or people who are doing niche or experimental crops that typically take some time to develop an income stream. But I think the thought was to raise with inflation.
Agree. I do think that is a concern, and I'm glad it's on the record. Thank you.
The other planning commissioners? Comments, questions? I did have one question, minor question. Why they removed the reference to historic buildings and structures, took the 50-year reference out.
I could get back to you on that. I don't have intimate knowledge of what that conversation looked like at the Gorge Commission level. I'm assuming it was to be more flexible according to some kind of state standard or expert best available data, but I don't know. I can get back to you on that though.
Okay, thank you. Wondered how you would determine if something was historic.
Commissioner Willis, again, if I may, Chair.
Yes.
Okay. And the change of, you know, removing the cottage industry and going to home occupation, is that just, is there, it encompasses, it sounds like it encompasses what was intended before, it's just different words, or is it, does it actually have other implications that we need to understand better?
Yeah, thank you for that. So the Columbia River Gorge Commission's interpretation was, it was just a new term, but past director Angie Brewer expressed some considerable concern that there were some unintended consequences of eliminating cottage industries, and did provide comment to the record during the Gorge 2020 process. And those, we created a landing page for these updates that includes every comment that we submitted during the Gorge 2020 process. So I would encourage citizens to read those comments if they're interested in that. But she did, she had some particular concerns with certain types of makers that aren't necessarily well protected by the home-based business, the home occupation. So, and she had some specific instances that she mentioned in her letter. So yes, it was Director Brewer, who's much more of an expert with the National Scenic Area than I am, her belief that there were some unintended consequences of that update.
Great, thank you, that's helpful. I'll go back and take a look at that. I do have concerns about that as well.
Yes, Mike.
To add to that comment, I remember discussions with that. And technically there is a very defined difference between the two, okay? There is definitely a restrictions that's a little bit more implied to the home occupation versus the cottage industry. Cottage industry has been around a long time. And I personally would hate to see that being replaced by home occupation, just because I've been sitting there listening for the last year, the outside listening in on the that definition. So the definition really, to me, is not specifically clear to the public to know exactly what's going to end up being eliminated here. So the question I have is that, not to throw a wrench in it, because my understanding is you're asking our commissioners vote on this thing to adopt it blindly. Can we raise this as an issue? Say we say, okay, fine, but don't eliminate this definition. You know, can we do that or not? Or is this just sort of a blind leading the blind here? I guess that's to Kelly, I guess.
Thank you, Commissioner. So you have the ability to put it on record, your concerns about that definition. But again, this was adopted by the Columbia River Gorge Commission into the management plan. So the rule is already made and we have to follow the rule.
Okay.
We no longer have the opportunity to manipulate those definitions.
Okay, then I would just want to make sure that that is a concern of mine that is very definitely stated into this. We have no choice but to go along with it, but I think that there has to be a vocal. You know, I'm against that terminology. I really am.
Thank you, Mike. Any other commissioners' comments or questions?
Oh, I do have, yes, yes. It's Commissioner Willis again, for the record. I know that, for instance, the Columbia Gorge Community College and other strategies that are beginning to, you know, just for economic development are coming up, do have to do with makers. They do have to do with this concept of cottage industry. And so again, you know, it sounds like former Director Brewer, you know, was very clear. I'm looking forward to going and looking at that, but I do think we need to be on the record, and I do I'm wondering about the definition, you know, and whether there could be a challenge if it's not well enough defined, or if it's not broadly enough defined to meet realities. Anyway, Mike, we can talk about this.
Yeah,
thank you.
There is definitely a concern that's not only at the college, because the college right now is actually moving and trying to bring educations that is going to stimulate cottage industries. Okay. And and they just finished out millions of dollars worth of investments in building, and they're going to educate people for this, and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just raising a flag here to say, you know, we really are concerned for that. Primarily, we're trying to stimulate small business to flourish in these areas and bring employment, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. And I've just got this hair calling up me that this is a not well considered change in this definition. So that being said, that's all we can do is just bring it up. Thank you. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Mike. All right. Any further discussion by planning commissioners? All right. Hearing nothing further, I just want to review, the staff recommends that the Wasco County Planning Commission recommend adoption of the proposed amendments of the Wasco County National Scenic Area Land Use and Development Ordinance to the Wasco County Board of Commissioners. That's a staff recommendation. Do I have a motion?
I guess I'll move that we adopt it, but with the stated concerns that we want that on record in bold.
Okay.
Could I add on to Please. That also the expansion area of limited for the expansion areas?
Okay, concerns are noted. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Who seconded that?
I did.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All opposed? Aye. All opposed, same sign.
Actually, I think, can I abstain? This is Commissioner Willis.
I don't believe so.
All right. I don't want to vote in favor of this.
My understanding is the only reason for abstention might be a potential conflict. Is that correct, Kelly?
Generally, yes.
Okay.
Commissioner Willis is entitled, though, to vote no.
Sure.
Thank you.
This is Jency. So for the record, Commissioner Willis is voting no.
That is correct. Everyone else voted yes. Okay, so the proposed amendments of the Wasco County National Scenic Area Land Use and Development Ordinance will be recommended for adoption to the Wasco County Board of Commissioners. And that will be heard on October 20th and November 3rd by the Board of Commissioners. Okay. That concludes this hearing. We will take a short break, 15 minutes. We're right on schedule.
Say that, so. Commissioner, the break was scheduled for 5 o'clock.
Oh, for five. Okay, I thought it was in between the hearings.
No, sorry, for 5 o'clock.
All right, well then we'll just keep plugging along here. All right, let me change gears. We need to go through roll call and all that again. Okay. So we will open the public hearing for the purpose of Planning Commission's consideration of land use application file 921-21-000167, an update to the land use and development ordinance, including revisions to chapter 2, chapter 21, and several overlay zone sections. First, the planning department staff will present their reports. Planning commissioners may have questions for staff, and then the public will have the opportunity to testify. Then the planning commission will deliberate and make a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners. This hearing is scheduled for 2 hours if needed. We will try to conclude the hearing by 6. Testimony will be limited to 3 minutes. Staff will time each comment period and mute when 3 minutes have expired. Rules of evidence are as follows. no person shall present irrelevant, immaterial, or unduly repetitious testimony or evidence. If you have submitted written comments, please do not restate it in oral testimony unless you have further information to add. Evidence received shall be of a quality that reasonable persons rely on in the conduct of their daily affairs. Testimony and evidence must be directed toward the criteria applicable to the subject hearing. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the commission and parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes further appeal based on that issue. Does any commission member wish to disqualify themselves for any personal or financial interest in this matter? Does any commission member wish to report any significant ex parte or pre-hearing contacts? Does any member of the audience wish to challenge the right of any commission member to hear this matter? Is there any member of the audience who wishes to question the jurisdiction of this body to act on behalf of Wasco County in this matter? Okay, at this time, we'll have staff presentation. Make sure everybody mutes themselves and hold your questions until the end of staff presentations. We will have three staff participating in presentations. So we'll start with Daniel.
Good afternoon. One second. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Daniel Doherty. I'm an associate planner. I'm going to be going over our Chapter 2 Development Approval Procedures Update Overview. I'm going to go ahead and talk about what our procedures chapter is and then move into what the goals we set as a staff for this update. Then I'm going to go dive briefly into the process that we followed for the update and then jump into kind of an overview of the alterations to this particular chapter. So really chapter two is a permit roadmap. It's a guide for both planners as well as the public regarding information that both the public as well as the planners need to understand what level of review will be given to a specific request. The procedures used to make the decision, it's going to give us kind of an overview of how to go about making that decision. It's going to talk about who is authorized to make those decisions and then provide appeal authorities as well as appeal processes, hearing processes, those kinds of things. Importantly, it also gives public notice. So if your particular parcel will be impacted by a land use decision or a specific agency might may be impacted, it's going to provide that public notice, which includes hearing dates, opportunities for appeal and comment, as well as different hearing procedures. It's going to also provide and ensure that we're following the law with regards to legal compliance. So it's going to make sure that we're compliant with state and federal law. Essentially, it ensures procedural due process is being followed with regards to land use decisions. It's going to make sure, lastly, that every decision is decided in the same manner, so efficiency and equity. So what were the goals of this chapter revision? First thing is if there's a lot of legalese and jargon and it's difficult for planners to understand the process chapter, it's gonna be very difficult for the general public to understand it. And so we really wanted to make it easy for the general public to understand. We wanted to make it smooth from start to finish. With this, we wanted to make the chapter more efficient, both for the planner as well as the general public. We wanted to simplify that process from start to finish, as well as visualize the process. So we've added visual charts and tables to the chapter. And then we wanted to really just make it a smooth process for the public. Last but not least, we wanted to ensure that it complied with state law. And in this, staff did an in-depth statutory as well as case law review, specifically with Oregon Revised Statutes 215 and 197. So the process started way back in 2019, where staff did an in-depth assessment of the different sections within Chapter 2. And then, of course, combined and collated those revisions. And finally, bringing our revision to Chris Crean, a land use law attorney, for a high-level review to make sure that we are compliant with state law, as well as to make sure that we were as efficient as possible. And then finally, in 2021, public review, input, and decision-making. So what were the major alterations? Essentially, the first part is just making sure conformance with state law. Again, we did an in-depth analysis, statutory Oregon administrative rules analysis, as well as case law analysis, as well as the attorney review of this specific chapter. We wanted to try to get rid of redundant sections, which included really streamlining it into fewer sections. As you can see on the lower right-hand side, we have fewer sections ultimately in the new chapter 2. We do have more information, so there's more pages ultimately, but we've been able to create an umbrella chapter that encompasses a wide variety of different review types. The old land use ordinance required us to kind of bounce around between different chapters as well as the comp plan. We've also provided in-text hyperlink citations and cross-references where applicable. This is a useful guide for both the planner as well as the public, showing and illustrating to the public really the state law nexus or the administrative rule nexus if possible. Again, we've tried to really reduce the legalese and jargon where possible. We've also provided a concise review and appeals process. And this is kind of a brief example. Now this is, of course, our type one non-discretionary review procedures, but it gives the public as well as the planner a straight line between the notice of application, whether or not a public hearing is provided, the decision-making authority, what type of notice of decision you're going to get, and then, of course, if an appeal is applicable. We also think that we've provided, similar to the concise permit review and appeals process, concise hearing procedures. And then finally, that visual table that I was talking about earlier. This is an example of the table we've included. And this is really a couple of different examples for both the planner as well as the public. You know, you have your structural of that land use application. You know the type of procedure or review type. You know the decision-making authority, whether public notice is involved. And of course, whether or not there's an appeal authority and who the appeal authority is. So that pretty much concludes the major alterations to the chapter in a nutshell. And I open it up for questions if you have them.
Questions from commissioners? No questions? Then we'll move on to presentation by Isaac.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Let me get to you. All right, and everyone can see that, okay. All right, so hello everyone. My name is Isaac Stats, and I am going to just give a brief overview on the proposed updates to our Environmental Protection Districts, or EPDs. The updated scope for 2021 is including the Chapter 2 procedures and notices that Daniel just went over, Chapter 21, land divisions and road standards, and then these several EPDs. And what I wanted to point out once again is these icons that are here on the right of each of these updates. And these icons follow each of these updates throughout our project website, throughout all of our proposed draft updates, our page summaries, and we're really using them as visual cues to try to link these different updates together for the public, just to try to help make it easier to digest and understand. So there are currently 14 environmental protection districts or overlay zones here in Wasco County. And the purpose of them is to limit uses, protect resources, or protect development from natural hazards. And this year's update for 2021 include these 8 EPDs here on the left. And in 2022, we are going to propose updates to the other 6 there on the right. Major changes will be to rename the broad umbrella term from environmental protection districts to overlay zones. And we think that this is going to help clarify the main intent behind these zones. Staff is also proposing a more standardized format to these sections to make them a little bit easier to read and understand, and just make them all visually look similar. And there are finally several specific updates from the Wasco County 2040 that are being made into several of these overlay zones. And I will now briefly go over the 8 updates, proposed updates for 2021. So we are proposing to change the name from EPD to OZ, and we moved language from one section to another. A new subject header was added for applicability to be consistent with the new framework that we're trying to use for these overlay zones. And some additional content was moved out of this section. And then also within section 3.772, there is a third bullet added in there to be consistent with state law. The third change there is a new permitted uses section has been added to make explicit what is permitted, and the old section .772 has been removed to be consistent with the Wasco County Comprehensive Plan policy to eliminate the Historic Landmarks Commission, or HLC. And historically, at least for the past few decades, the planning director or the planning commission the Planning Commission has been the proxy for the HLC. The fourth here is a new required notice to property owners providing the right to object. And the final proposed update on this section is adding a new section, again, to be consistent with the framework, to try to clarify the relationship between a base zone and an overlay zone. On EPD 5, mineral and aggregate overlay, we've got 3 proposed changes, again, to change the name and to add a purpose section. And then the second is to based on suggestions from our partners at ODOT, we added more flexibility to our hours of operation. And then the third proposed change here is a new section being added again to be consistent with the new framework. And you're going to kind of see a lot of these repeat themselves just because that's the nature of going through each of these individual EPDs to make them all consistent. On EPD 6, we have two proposed changes. The first is to try to use a sentence to propose to clarify the process that identifies the resources for this overlay zone. And then a new section is added at the end, again, to clarify the difference between the base zone and the overlay zone. On the natural overlay zone, EPD 7, we have six proposed changes. It's going to be the name of the overlay zone updated to better indicate the resources that it protects. A purpose statement is going to be edited to make the intent of the overlay more clear. A section for applicability is added as part of the new overlay zone framework and is meant to clarify how and when this particular overlay zone is applied. And a clarifying statement is being added based on the ESEE analysis to allow for all uses to be reviewed as conditional uses and not to be outright prohibited. Based on policy changes from the comp plan, new criteria is being added to this section to ensure the planning department and property owners know to coordinate with specific organizations. And a new section is added, again, for the purpose of base zone and overlay zone clarification. Moving on to the EPD number 9, the Big Muddy Limited Use Overlay. We made are proposing to make some changes to the section numbers for the addition of purpose and applicability. And again, to go into the new framework. We're also proposing to add the date of adoption of this overlay for transparency and accuracy. And then a new section at the end is being proposed to be added for base and overlay. Number 10 here, the EPD 10 Badger Creek, new section numbers for purpose and applicability, similar to EPD 9. And the date of adoption and similar to EPD 9. Basically, the updates for this one are similar to the previous. And then the sensitive bird habitat, we have four proposed changes to add the purpose of this EPD to update language to be more consistent with the comprehensive plan. And the exempt uses are added to a distinct section for clarity so that you can kind of go down one by one and see them all in one spot. And then a new section is added at the end. For EPD 14 here, same thing. And as I had mentioned earlier at the beginning, the website that we use for this, the project website, wasco2040.com, does contain all of the surveys, all of the polls, all of the detailed proposed changes in draft form that, that the public can go through and look at with more depth and detail. So thank you. And I will stop sharing my screen at this time.
Any questions for Isaac from planning commissioners?
Commissioner Ashley, I have one question on the wild and scenic rivers, and I couldn't find it. How much of a setback is required from the river? Do you know?
I do not know off the top of my head, but I do not believe that is a change that we are proposing, or we are, I don't believe we are proposing a change to that. Kelly, please correct me there if I'm wrong.
No, the setbacks aren't changing. They're consistent with either the floodplain or property development standards.
Okay.
Any other questions from planning commissioners? Okay. Kelly. Go ahead, Kelly.
Sorry, I'm dealing with three screens, which is a little bit new for me tonight. Okay, so tonight I'm gonna be presenting updates to chapter 21. We've also split it off into two chapters. So chapter 22 is now the proposed home for the road standards. So I'll be talking about chapter 21 and 22. So similar to everybody else's presentations, I'm going to talk about the purpose of these chapters, why we're updating them, what the process was, and then giving a summary of what the revisions are. Chapter 21 is our land divisions chapter. So, and it also includes road standards. So anytime somebody submits an application to divide a property, just so whether it's make it into two or three or create a subdivision, or they are wanting to make property line adjustments, so move any of the property lines for their property, or they want to reconfigure the way something was platted, or they want to create a road or dedicate a road. This chapter essentially has the process and procedures by which we follow. Much of it is prescribed by state law, specifically Oregon Revised Statutes 92, 197, 209, and 215. So the purpose of these chapters is to make sure we're consistent with state law. We also, for a lot of these types of applications, we have to coordinate with surveyors on the process. They have some requirements in terms of drafting plats and how they monument things and how they survey it. So it helps our coordination with those partners, gives us that process by which to follow and how to conduct a review when submitted. And our road standards, one of the most critical things that those do for us and our residents is make things consistent with our fire safety standards and also best practices. So things like the width of the road or the turnouts required, those are typically coordinated with fire safety standards. So the reasons for the update, this has actually been on an internal list of desperately needed updates for over a decade. It was identified by our past county surveyor, Dan Bolt, and championed by numerous surveyors and also internal staff as really having some problematic elements where we were either conflicting with state law or it was just not clear how to administrate. So this was why this was a priority for us, along with chapter two, to really streamline and tackle in a significant way. Word choice is, you'll hear that time and time again from land use planners. It's very critical to the work that we do, particularly for permitting. And so we wanted to make sure the word choice was consistent with state law. And then we did take the opportunity based on citizen feedback during Wasco County 2040 and at other times to really streamline the process, make it easier to understand, easier to read, easier to access, and increase some flexibility where we were able to in timelines. This is particularly for subdivision criteria, but there are some more flexibilities allowed. The other thing I should add is we did have some minor updates recommended as policies with transportation, goal 12 and goal 14, which is urbanization, and also goal 2, which is a land use planning during Wasco County 2040, or update to a comprehensive plan. So this is the rulemaking phase of some of those policies that we adopted at that point in time. So like chapter 2, as Daniel very eloquently explained, this has been a long time coming for staff. We took this very seriously and started a staff-based analysis and audit in 2019. We all took chunks of this, compared it with other county codes, looked at case law, looked at state law, and then staff came up with recommended revisions. Once we produced a final document, so two drafts, chapter 21 and 22, we convened a group of six local area surveyors to serve as our technical advisory group. And they were really, they're experts, but experts in a slightly different way. So they read the material different. They have some different applicable state law. And we really wanted to make sure that this was effective for not only land use planners and our citizens, but also our surveyor communities, because they've been particularly vocal about some of the problems of this chapter. In addition, we consulted with the public works director to ensure any updates to chapter 22, our road standards, were consistent with the current policies and procedures of our public works department. And had some meetings with those folks and really reached some broad consensus over the revisions where everybody felt very, very comfortable and happy with that. The next phase, as Daniel mentioned, was to forward it on to our consulting land use attorney, Chris Crane, who has considerable expertise in this subject, and he gave us a legal review. So some of the provisions in particular he was paying close attention to that I want to raise awareness for is related to the clear and objective standard requirements for anything related to housing. So you'll see some removal of some discretionary criteria related to subdivisions. The purpose of that is to make sure we're consistent with the new state requirement to have clear and objective, so basically thumbs up, thumbs down only rules and regulations when considering housing. We rolled this out to the public, I believe, in April, beginning of May, and have had lots of opportunities for public feedback and public engagement, and received pretty minimal, lots of questions that we've been able to answer and have a dialogue with citizens over, but really not very much in the way of public feedback. So you saw today your packet was empty of written comments, just because I think these procedural chapters are less interesting to folks than the zone chapters. So, you know, we always do this a little strategically. When we've done updates, we start with some of the more critical but less interesting stuff, so everybody has a chance to learn about the process and engage. We did modify, in particular, this year, we were also supposed to hear some farm and forest zone updates. We've pushed that out to next year to, again, allow for citizens to really engage with this material, because we know there are some constraints given COVID. So here's a summary of the updates. You'll see a lot of revisions to terms and references. That was very critical, again, to staff and also our surveying population to make sure we were using the same language. And job titles have also changed, but we have some references to state law and things that we also updated. One of the things that we discussed with the public during Wasco County 2040 were maintenance agreements for public open space. And also you'll see in chapter 22 related to road standards. So we did codify that and add that in. Those are earmarked as optional updates. Surveyors felt really, really strongly that preliminary title reports needed to happen at the time of application to give us time to flag any of these issues, because often they would come in at the end of the process and be problematic if there were any red flags with the title report. So we've changed that. As I mentioned, where we were able to offer extensions for things like preliminary plats, we did do that, and increased development phasing timelines. There were some huge sections in this chapter that we were just verbatim state law. And state law changes generally at a quicker pace than we're able to dedicate resources to update our ordinance. So where we're able to, where it's not super critical, or where we don't add additional criteria or requirements, we want to defer directly to state law. So in that case, monumentation or things that are specifically for the surveyors, we're referring directly to state law and removing that verbatim language from the land use and development ordinance. So where you see that's taken out, it doesn't mean we're not no longer following that monumentation process. It just means we're directing people directly to where it comes from, which is Oregon Revised Statutes. One of the most problematic things about this chapter is, for some reason, when it was drafted, we coupled replats and property line adjustments, and this does conflict with state law. So we have revised it so replats consistent with state law now follow their origin process. So if lots were created during a partition or a subdivision, partition means under three properties, then they need to go through that partition or subdivision process when they're replatting rather than taking the property line adjustment approach. And then I mentioned already the housing criteria related to clear and objective standards. So where our attorney advised concern or that it potentially conflicted with that requirement, we have proposed removal. Chapter 22, staff felt very strongly that we needed to have a separate road standards chapter so that everybody was really clear where road standards live in the land use and development ordinance, that it felt kind of buried in the division, land division chapter. So we've separated those things, created a new chapter for 22. The public works director and also staff felt really strongly that we needed to better align those road standards with fire safety standards. And so there have been some minor updates to those. Public works used to have a much larger team and be responsible for creating signage. They no longer do that. So we've removed that. We also used to call the public works director the roadmaster. So we've removed those references and replaced it with his new title as appropriate. Add a criteria to be consistent with state law. And then one of the things that policies that we adopted during Wasco County 2040 was to really clarify, particularly for new property owners who maybe haven't lived in a county before, don't really understand road maintenance agreements and snow plowing and those things, make it very clear in their deed when things are being sold or when new activity is taking place. They'll have to sign what's called a waiver of remonstrance, which basically means you may be on the hook in the future for improvements to the road or maintenance. And that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to open it up to questions at this point. Thank you.
Any questions for Kelly, planning commissioners? Anyone, planning commissioners? I just had one minor comment, and that is something we talked about at the last meeting, where we had in section 21030B, number 7, lowercase b and f are still the same. It just repeats the same language.
Oh, so can you give me that? Can you give me the page reference again?
Yeah, it's on page PC 121. It's 21.030B, number 7. It's B and F are the same. They read the same about easements.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Sure. Anyone else? Okay, do we have anyone registered for comment on these amendments?
Okay.
Jency?
I don't have the list that shows the comments. It's the same group of folks that was registered with the last public comment.
I think Sheila said she wanted to comment on chapter two.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to say that chapter two, section 2.090B2B3, it talks about the increase in the notification zone from 500 to 750 feet in farm and forest zones. I guess it's a mandatory change. But my thought was, if the lot or the property the application's for is within a tract owned by one owner, could you start the notification at the boundary of the tract rather than the boundary of the lot? Otherwise, it's just the owners getting notified of their own development. And there was a House Bill 2556, which would have increased the notification zone to a half mile in rural areas, but it didn't get a hearing. But I support the 750 feet. That's nice that they're increasing it. Okay, thanks.
Kelly, did you want to comment on that?
No, we can certainly make a notation to staff that if it looks like they're going to notice the property owner about their own development, they won't do that. Yeah, not a problem. Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else have comments about these amendments? Pretty straightforward. Great job, everybody. Kelly and Isaac and Daniel. Any other planning commissioner comments? If there are no further comments and no testimony, no one requesting the record remain open, the public hearing is closed. And the Planning Commission will enter into deliberation. Planning Commissioners, do you have any further discussion about the proposed amendments?
This is Commissioner Willis. I do not.
Okay, thank you, Kate.
This is Commissioner Davis. I don't either.
Okay. Russ, any comments or questions?
I do not. Thanks, Lynn.
Okay, Vicki?
Thanks for a good job of cleaning up the work.
Yeah, they did do a great job.
Yeah.
Okay. Marcus, still on here?
I am. Yes, I just want to thank staff so much for all their work on this. It's a huge effort, all of this. It's so technical. And I'm just constantly impressed by the staff there and all the work that y'all do. So thank you so much.
Okay. Mike, did you have anything else?
This is Commissioner Davis. No, I don't have anything.
Okay. The staff recommendation is to recommend that we recommend the adoption of the proposed amendments of the Wasco County Land Use and Development Ordinance to the Wasco County Board of Commissioners. I have a motion.
I move that we present to the county commissioners the adopted changes.
Do I have a second?
I second that, Commissioner Davis.
Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. The amendments will be recommended for adoption to the Wasco County Board of Commissioners. They will hear this on October 20th and November 3rd. And that concludes that hearing. So, Kelly, do you have other issues you would like to talk to us about or inform us about?
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And thank you so much for all your hard work and also citizens who are watching, reading that very large packet of over 1,000 pages of material. We hope that the way we rolled out the Land Use and Development Ordinance update this year has been helpful. We will be continuing that process for 2 more years. So any feedback that you have, we'd love to hear it. We tried to use a markup style in the revisions to make it really clear what's optional and what's mandatory, where things are moving, give you lots of context, lots of one-page examples, but we can always improve. So any feedback that you have, we'd love to hear it. We are hard at work on next year's update. So the housing has been pushed out to 2023 along with updates to our natural hazards related environmental protection districts. But next year we're gonna be focusing on energy facilities and things related to energy, commercial energy and residential energy projects in Wasco County. I mentioned those farm and forest updates, specifically some optional uses that have been passed by the legislature over a decade that we really wanna hear feedback on. So make sure citizens, your friends and neighbors are aware. There's some potentially controversial updates that we'd like public feedback on. Agritourism is something that we did, again, talk about these state law updates and the agritourism piece to citizens this year, hoping to adopt it, and just really felt like we hadn't heard enough feedback. Agritourism, we've heard some feedback on. We talked to citizens about that extensively during the comp plan update, but we'll have the opportunity again to look at the rulemaking part of it next year. In particular, the comments we've heard this year related to wildfire and water. So we'll be looking at adding some potential optional regulations to allow for agritourism. We also are going to be proposing to look at adopting a communications facility chapter. That's for things like meteorological towers and cell phone towers. And this is going to be in conjunction with the work that we got a grant from the Department of Defense for the military airspace, making sure that we have good coordination for any projects that potentially represent encroachment into the military airspace above Wasco County. So we have two bands. They mostly conduct training exercises over Wasco County, but they fly as low as, I believe, 100 feet. So anything that's, we're looking at tall-wise, which in Wasco County tends to be those towers, we wanna make sure we're coordinating early with our partners at the Department of Defense. So you'll see some work about that. Similar to this year, we're going to be doing all the research the next several months and then starting to roll that out to the public in late winter, early spring. Depending on how things go with COVID, we hope to be back going on the road again to communities all over Wasco County to talk to citizens. If we aren't able to do that because of governor restrictions, we would love new feedback about how to reach citizens where we know we have some difficulties with internet access. So if you've got any feedback about that, that would be really helpful. Other news that I can share with you, we continue to work on recruitment for the department. I'm continuing to search out a senior planner, and we've temporarily put the code compliance recruitment on hold so that we can discuss potential impacts of the National Scenic Area regulations to that program. It predominantly has the last several years, at least as long as I've been with the department, been about 70 to 80% nuisance oriented in terms of caseload, and really some of the changes to the National Scenic Area are going to require us to adjust that model so that we can accommodate new workload from the scenic area. So we've hit pause on that recruitment. We do expect to pick it up again shortly, but we'll likely be going before the board to ask them for their approval to slightly restructure that program. It's nothing scary or significant. It's just we may be no longer accepting anonymous complaints, and we may have to triage things so that things that aren't representing a life safety issue or a land use violation may only be addressed as time allows. We have Krista Harris has joined us aboard as a new office assistant to really help our capacity with that. Interim planner Dawn Baird will continue with us until November 1st. So she's working very diligently along with our current planning staff, Daniel, Sean Bailey, and also Chris McNeil, to continue to process permits. And I feel very confident that we are, even with some of the constraints and the transitions, still on target for our typical timelines. Our open office hours are currently Tuesdays and Thursdays. We hope to transition Chris over sooner than later so that we can open up more thoroughly to the public, but we're continuing to evaluate that as staff and time allows. We've also, for our hazardous waste and recycling program, added on a new capacity for an outreach and communications assistant in Morgane Riggins. So if you stop by the department, you'll see some new faces. You'll see things have moved around a little bit. We're really excited to continue all the hard work with that program as well. Other updates that you should be aware of, you'll be hearing an appeal from a National Scenic Area application in October. And it's a property that will be familiar to some of you that made the rounds with the Planning Commission a couple years ago. This is a different application and a different project and a different owner, but that will be before you in October. And then we are working with Dave Wilson to hear his remand from the Land Use Board of Appeals either in December or January. So that was for the rezone of a property to a residential zone. So we anticipate hearing that. Other than that, it looks like we've cleared the decks in November. So you're likely to see current planners in October and December or January. That's really all the news I have to report. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have about what we're doing, what we're up to, the status of the department, because we have a little bit of time.
Any questions, anyone?
Comment? Good job with all the transitions. That's all I can say. I know that it's been a lot, and it sounds like it's starting to get into a little bit of a steady state. So well done. And then I know that coming up too was, there were other things for 2022. It sounds things that were going to be covered this year, but that got pushed to next year or 2023. Has any of that, I'm not totally tracking, has any of that been pushed back to sooner, or are you just kind of keeping steady from when Director Brewer left?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Willis. And thank you for your compliments. I want to really shout out to the staff that has remained with us. They are exceptional, and they have really, really picked up the slack. Daniel has been incredible doing long-range work, current planning work, and also training our new current planners. So really deserves a lot of recognition for being an exceptional staff person and really a consummate professional. Isaac has also really stepped up to fill some gaps where my attention's a lot more divided these days. So he's really done a wonderful job at coming in behind me and cleaning up my mess. And then Jency, who's on the call, is just phenomenal, phenomenally hard worker, creative, really keeps us all in line and is an exceptional staff member. So big kudos to the planning staff. They deserve every ounce of recognition. As far as the updates we did push things when we knew there was going to be significant transitions with the staff, and in particular with the scenic area ordinance update that added, you know, pretty significant additional work to my my plate. So there have been no changes. The intent, you can see the updated timeline on the project website. Isaac mentioned that URL. It's wasco2040.com. You can go on there and peruse all the updates that we've intended. Probably the most significant thing of interest to the public is the housing updates are going to be pushed until 2023, and also the fire updates. We're currently still working on the Community Wildfire Protection Plan, and we plan to continue that work. And one of the other reasons, besides staff transition, that we felt it was appropriate to make our formerly two-year LUTO update project into a three-year project was some bills that got through the legislature this year, specifically Senate Bill 762, which is related to wildfire risk. And there also was a provision to allow for accessory dwelling units. We talked about that with the public during the comp plan update. We've been waiting for with bated breath for that to pass. It did finally, but some of the changes to that bill specifically are correlated to some of the Senate bills related to wildfire. And what that means is we're waiting for the state to adopt statewide wildfire risk maps, which they intend to have done by the end of next year. So we aren't able to make those changes until the state adopts those maps. So we wouldn't, even if we adopted accessory dwelling units into the LUTO, we wouldn't be able to permit it for another year. So that's why we've pushed that. So all the housing, lots of time to get community feedback on housing, including the short-term rental issues. And then lots of time to give us feedback about the Community Wildfire Protection Plan. We'll be rolling out those strategies and action items that we're evaluating with our stakeholders and our core group over this next year, because we'd love citizen feedback about that. The only other thing that citizens and the Planning Commission should be aware of is that Daniel has been shepherding and really been responsible for a grant to work with the DAWGAMI to update our landslide data. So that's EPD2, the geological hazard zone. And we did receive early on in the comp plan, actually former Commissioner Leroy Bruth was very vocal that the data we were using was out of date. One of the benefits of having flown LIDAR is that we had an updated data source. And so Daniel was able to secure a grant for DAWGAMI to do that work to really analyze and update that overlay zone. So we're really excited about that, but we anticipate that work will be done a little bit closer to 2023. So the other thing that we'll be doing in 2023 is related to destination resorts. So you remember during the comp plan, we adopted an eligibility map, and the public naturally is very concerned about water and wildfire risks. And we said, you know, hold on, we're just adopting a map. We'll get to the rulemaking eventually. That rulemaking is going to happen in 2023. So we know we have a lot of citizens who will be actively involved in that process. They're welcome again to submit comments at any time on the website, ask questions about any of these updates. We just won't have anything for them to actually scrutinize or read, any of that text to read, until we get a little bit closer to 2023.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Comments? If not, we can adjourn this meeting an hour early. Do I have a motion?
This is Commissioner Willis. I motion to adjourn the meeting.
And this is Commissioner Davis. I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? None? Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Kelly, Daniel, and Isaac, and everybody else for their hard work. And we'll see you next month.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, commissioners, and thank you, members of the public.